First reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 2, verse 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. For the Gospel of the Lord, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we're missing the kids this morning. I know they were having a hard week because we all ended up bailing on our family life group this week because I had gastro and they were all in the middle of other things. So I think probably everybody's had a bad, I don't know how you've been this week, but it's been a fun week for me. Really good. You know, not because gastro isn't fun, but because the love of God in the midst of trouble is fun. Okay? Because when you pray and say, Lord, I've got to do this thing on Sunday, and if something hasn't kicked in by Friday, I'm going to have to ring up Kevin and say, guess what, mate, you're preaching. Of course, I could bring John or Graham as well. I'm really well supplied here. It's wonderful. In fact, I could ring Jan, or I could ring Anne, or Cheryl. I tell you what, in this place, I'm fine if I can't preach. Which is great, because I could sort of say, okay, Lord, we'll see how we go. But I was getting better by Friday night. I managed to keep one thing down. So, if I'm looking a little bit better, 2.5 kilos gone. All fluid. You know what it's like. Anyway. And no kids, because I think they were having the same sort of week. But this is how it works sometimes, isn't it? The whole point is never in the thing that gets in your way, but in the one who walks through the thing that gets in your way with you. There was a young man many years ago, wonderful, wonderful young man, a musician, really good at his gift. More the country end of the world than the rock end of the world. But he was in the era when country really had a hold. And he was a young man who was really gifted, talented, wrote his own songs, but who also had a real battle with alcohol, a real battle with his own depression, his own stuff. And he battled and he wrote songs out of that battle, and some of those songs became absolute bestsellers, and people were seeing him on stage and he was doing well, but he was an alcohol-fueled performer. And the darkness got darker and the ability to stay within the law got harder and it became really hard. And then he met a lady who loved him just as he was. And that lady loved the Lord. And that lady introduced him to Jesus. And he'd met Jesus when he was a little kid, because he had parents who'd worked really hard, or a mother who'd worked hard at telling about Jesus. But, you know, sometimes you can tell them, but you can't make them believe. That's not up to us. And then she introduced him, reintroduced him, and he came through a journey. And in that journey, he came to understand that Jesus is Lord. It took a bit because he needed to see and know. He needed to taste. He needed to touch. His life needed to be one where he had solid proof. And his life was transformed when he came to Christ. And he wrote a song, which is the story of his life. You might know it. It's called Walk the Line. Johnny Cash, if you haven't quite clued on. Johnny Cash, one of his sayings, and one which I love because it actually, well, it works with the sermon, but also I think it's a great saying because it helps us to remember something really important. Johnny Cash said that there is no fence to sit on before between heaven and hell. There is no fence to sit on between heaven and hell. What he meant by that is that he had understood that truth is truth. And in this world, we use the word truth a little bit lightly, and we sort of talk about my truth, what's true for me. And in a lot of ways, what is true for me, that is a real truth, and that it's something I believe and it's something I'm living in. His truth was darkness, though. That wasn't real truth. He was living in a place of addiction and fear and pain and falling into places where he was really losing his life, not gaining it. Jesus said, I came to give you life in abundance. Well, that wasn't going to come through his sort of truth, was it? So that wasn't actual truth. Because the truth that sets us free is the capital T truth of that which is absolutely immutable, unchangeable, and real, even when our lives do not come in line with it. And that's the truth of Jesus Christ. And when we come in line with that truth, it makes a difference. Walking the line was about not walking in what was his personal truth, but walking in the real truth that he had learned when he came to know who Jesus is. And I love Thomas in our reading today. Thomas, the doubting apostle. You hear him, you know, Thomas the doubter. You know what? Rubbish. And I get into a sketch about some Yorkshiremen. Rubbish! Thomas. Oh, poor Thomas. Quite honestly, my dead great-grandmother walked in here and walked down the front and said, G'day, I just want you to know I'm alive and I'm in flesh and I'm fine. I think I would have trouble believing it. I think I'd be calling the men in the white coats and saying, I'm having hallucinations. Right? Because we wouldn't expect that. In a world without resurrection, you don't expect those things. Thomas lived in a world without resurrection. The first person ever resurrected from the dead is Jesus Christ. First person to die and live without resuscitation or any of the medical means is Jesus Christ. And indeed, the only one who lives and will never die again. From that point of view, we get resurrection when we die. But he's the firstborn from the dead. Thomas, of course, wasn't expecting a dead guy to walk in the room, even though the people had said to him, we've seen the Lord. Yeah, they had. He'd been there a week before. He'd been there and he had said, peace be with you. Here, look at me. This is me. He ate and drank with them and the disciples went, oh my goodness, it's real. And they told Thomas, and Thomas goes, until I see it, I don't believe it. And I don't blame him. You know, I'm a person who can believe without seeing because I'm a little bit of an intuitive personality. I have a tendency to intuit it, and I feel it and emotionally. And if it rings true in my emotions, I'm much more likely to be able to run with it than somebody who needs to poke his finger in the holes. But I was married to someone who had to poke his finger in the holes. Took him a while, but eventually he poked his finger in the holes, not literally, of course, because Jesus didn't turn up in the flesh to show him, but he came to a place to understand that truth is truth, and he did believe in Jesus. Eventually. But you see, the thing is, Thomas is a man who needs to see. You know what? That's okay. Because the search is about faith. You start in faith because you've decided there's something there. And if you've decided there's something there, then you're going to seek it. And if you're seeking the truth, Jesus tells us that if you seek him, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart. Because the truth never goes away. If it is actually true, it's true for everybody. Not just true for me. True for everybody, or it's not true at all. There isn't an in-between. There ain't no fence to sit on. As true as not. Thomas needed to see. That is not a sin. That is a heart that really wants to know it's real. Because if it's real, oh my goodness. If it's not real, there's a whole lot of crazy going on. Because you see, if you believe in somebody being raised from the dead, and you actually believe that he's alive and still alive, then you're either crazy or it's real. There ain't no in between. You can't half believe something like that or be just having a moment. Jesus is real, and we all know that because we're here. Some of us might still be trying to work it out. That's all right. Thomas saw Jesus. Jesus knew Thomas needed this. This is why he purposely turned up a week later when Thomas was sitting there. He knew Thomas needed to see, and he said to him, Thomas, hey, look, this is me. Look, here are the holes. Here are the holes. Look at the gash in my side. Put your hand in. Touch it. I'm real. I'm alive. All Thomas needed to do was see. You notice he doesn't actually, he doesn't actually poke. You don't have to. He has Jesus alive in front of him, who he saw die on Friday of a week before. You don't survive crucifixion, by the way. Even if they took you down just before you die, you would still die, because by that stage your body is in a fatal place of complete meltdown. Medically speaking, it's an unsurvivable torture unless you were taken down immediately. 3 hours later, you got Buckley. He was dead. So there's a living, breathing Jesus in front of him. And what does he do? Does he say, Rabboni, teacher? No. Because that ain't the right title. He knows who he's looking at. My Lord and my God. The truth has just come home to rest. The one who he called teacher, the one who did the miracles, the one who raised others from the dead, the one who preached the love of God for him, the one who raised up lepers from the ground, the one who healed so many people. This one is alive in front of him. He is not just a human being who was a really nice person and did great things. He's God. My Lord and my God, straight to his knee. And Jesus blesses him. And then he blesses us. Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. Take it on board. We got blessed. Sorry, I like that bit. 1 John is a letter from John. We're reading John's gospel. This is the letter from John, same John, writing to people who have moved out of Jerusalem. The Christians have had to run. This is a bit later on. They are now set up elsewhere because most of them have left Jerusalem. There's great persecution going on. So they're outside of Jerusalem. They're out in the world, and they have started planting churches all over the place. John is writing to these people, and he wants them to make sure that they've got the basics. And where does he go? He doesn't start with any niceties. He starts with, we declare to you what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we've seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He starts by saying, we're just letting you know, we saw it, we were there. I watched this man walk in the room through a locked door. I saw him, I hung out with him for 40 days after the resurrection. They hung out with Jesus, and there are 500 witnesses, so we are told by Paul, 500 witnesses to Jesus alive. We declare to you what we've seen, what we've not just heard about, but seen, touched. They sat, ate, and drank with Jesus. This is the thing that John wants them to get first. Why? Because truth is truth. And you need the truth. Because if you haven't got what is eternal truth, then everything else will be easily manipulated. Everything else can be manipulated by a world that wants to hold you in lies and darkness. Johnny Cash lived in that world, in the lies and the darkness. Lived in that world where fear spoke to him much louder than hope. He lived in that world where he was masking and self-medicating in alcohol because it was easier to deal with, to do that instead of being the pain he was in. He lived in that world where lies and darkness were his friend because he didn't understand there was real truth, not pretend truth, real truth, and that is Jesus Christ. When he met that truth, when he knew Jesus, and he met him through the love that is the essence of this God that we know. He met him through Jesus and the cross that Jesus died on, understanding the message that he proclaims, the same that John proclaimed, because both of these Johnnies know Jesus. I'll put it to you, the Apostle John probably knew a little better than the other one, but that's okay. The fact is, it's not a competition for us. God isn't looking for us to one-up one another and how good we are at the message. He's looking for us to know the truth and be set free by it so we can help others to know the truth so they can be set free. This is what we've heard from him and we're proclaiming. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If I turn off the lights, there's darkness. This is the truth. No light, you'll have darkness. If the sun does not come up, we'd have night all night, wouldn't we? We'd have it all day. We'd never have light. Except from the moon and the stars, but then you wouldn't have it from the moon even because it's reflecting the sun, so hey. But when the sun comes up, the darkness leaves because it cannot be there anymore, even though it's all about rotation. But the fact is, if I light a candle in a dark room, that darkness can't put my candle out. If I have a candle lit, can darkness put that candle out? No. But light can chase away darkness. God is light, in whom there is no darkness at all. What John is working on, what he's getting to, because this is the beginning of his letter, which we're going to look at throughout this Easter season, is this point and how it plays out in a Christian life. That to walk in fellowship with the one who is light is to walk in the truth of who he is, what he has done, and to do that in response to him. We don't do it so we can get brownie points and Jesus will accept us. He loves you anyway. Why do we know that? Because he says it down here. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, except me, because you know. Nah, it doesn't say that. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are no exceptions to that. Truth is truth, and that is a truth. Big T truth. If we we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Why? Because he's the one who teaches us about light and darkness. So when we sit here and we pretend, and it's easy to pretend, isn't it? It's easy to pretend. Sometimes it's easier to pretend than to tell the truth. After all, how many fellas here have had a woman said, do you want to look fat in this? And you know they're fishing, right? And you're stuck. Do I say she does? Does she want to hear that or what? Tell her you love her anyway. She's beautiful in whatever she wears. If it particularly really does look awful, well, you tell her the truth, but you say it with love. Don't just tell her, nah, you look fat in it, don't wear it. Say, look, I love you anyway, and you are beautiful, but perhaps that one isn't quite the one for today. Hey, let's wear it. I love this one. Put that one on. You look great in that one. If it's really important to her, but most of the time she actually just wants you to tell her that she's beautiful. She's not looking for the truth. Are we, ladies? We don't want you to tell us where our bumps are. We know where they are. We live with them. We know every single one of them. Easy. To avoid the truth because we are worried about upsetting someone. In that circumstance, the truth she's looking for is that you love her, not whether or not she has bumps. If we avoid the truth with one another, if we avoid the light, then what we end up doing is we end up making all the things that we say about love and about faithfulness, about all of those things, a lie, because we're hurting one another. Occasionally, you've got to say it. I would much rather you tell me if I upset you, rather than be all polite. You know, sometimes we're all polite, especially if we have a particular cultural background. We don't tell people they've upset us. We just try and put it aside and we're fine. But what happens is it builds up inside. And then we can actually turn around and take someone's head off when we shouldn't. And we've actually stepped out of the light with that person. We're not honoring what Jesus did. He took every single wrong thing in our lives, everything we have done or ever will do, to the cross. And he wants us to walk in the truth of that. And what does that mean? It means that forgiveness, which is what he told his disciples they needed to do after he's resurrected. We read it in the John reading. Forgiveness. And being able to walk in that love for one another that says, human being and human being, sometimes we will agree with darkness instead of light. Forgive. Let go. Move forward together in truth. In light. When you choose the light, even when it's hard and sometimes it's very hard. I don't like hearing hard news when I've upset somebody, but geez, I'm better off when you tell me. If I can fix it, I can apologize, I can say sorry. And even if you're upset with me and don't want to talk to me again, at least I know. I won't make the same mistake again so easily, will I? But if I don't know, I might do it again because nobody told me it was wrong, because sometimes we have no idea we just walked on someone, right? Absolutely no idea, because you open your mouth, you say something. I tell you what, Levika's always the last one to know if she's upset someone too, because I always tell everybody else first. It comes back. And they say, do you know that you should have a cuppa with so-and-so? And you think, what have I done? If we can walk in the light with one another as God's people, this is the fellowship John wants. Because he's talking about the fellowship Jesus had with his disciples. The fellowship he wants is the fellowship of the family of God, where we can actually be honest with one another, because that is what truth brings us to. And we can admit to one another when we've stuffed up. And we can also forgive one another when the other has stuffed up. And we can call one another to account, because it helps us to walk the line. And when we're doing that, we're honoring what Jesus has done for us, because he died so we can be free of the things of the darkness. so we can be free of sin, so we don't have to carry shame, so we don't have to live in this place where we've done something wrong and we're hiding because we're afraid that if people knew we'd done that thing wrong, they wouldn't love us anymore. Well, God will love you anyway. Bring it to the light and he'll wash it away. Jesus did not die so we can hide. He died so we can live. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. I want you to walk that place. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He is the one who has made the sacrifice to make sure we can be free, to be washed away by his blood, so we can be free of them. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we are the community that carries truth. And if we walk in the light with one another, then we carry the truth well, and we teach others that love and forgiveness is here with him. We help them to learn, as John Cash did many years ago, that he was loved past and through everything he had ever done. And the blood of Jesus will not only wash away what we've done wrong, but it will bring us into light. And in that light, there is no darkness at all. Now, John says to us, if we say we're without sin, then there's no truth in us. But if we confess our sin, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what I would like us to do now is think about this for a moment. Where have you been trying to stand where there is actually no fence to sit on? Are there places where we have lived our lives, or even where we've agreed with the darkness because we've chosen not to tell the truth and we've chosen to keep something hidden, or we've chosen to do something we should not have done, or perhaps it's an unintentional sin where something has happened and we didn't realize till afterwards that was a wrong thing. Whatever it is, where is the darkness in your life? And if there is darkness, let's bring it to the light. Let me invite you now to spend some time before the cross of Jesus, who longs to forgive you, love you, and bring you into this place of freedom. If you are in that place today, every one of us has something. It may be minor in the scheme of things, but everything which belongs to the darkness does not belong in us. No matter how small. I'm writing these things to you so you will not speak. Let's spend a moment before the cross. And if there is something that your heart is saying to you, yeah, I did say sorry for that, boy. Say it to him now. Say it to him in the silence of your heart. Say it to him out loud if you need to. But let's say it to him, our own selves. And then we are going to, I'm going to give you some words of forgiveness. And then we're going to sing a song which is called Thank You for the Cross. Let's spend this time now, each one of us.